Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Wednesday, April 18th, 2018. New Comic Book Day. And yes, I've been off for quite a few days. I know you missed me. Thanks for tuning in. We do have quite a bit to talk about, let me tell you. Of course, I'm going to talk about some news. I'm going to do some follow-up on the Marvel 99 cent sale. And of course, because it's Wednesday, it's time for a new comic predictor on books you should be looking out for coming out this week. Let's kick off talking about the Marvel 99 cent sales, because that has been a thing that's been in the news for quite some time. I know I've been enjoying the 99 cent books. Many of my friends have been enjoying them. Retailers, not so much, as I discussed in last week's episode, The 99 Cent Plague. And of course, if you want to listen to that episode, you can find it on your favorite podcast player, or you can go to nerdlegion.com/episodes/CTT-15 and listen to that, because I talk for about 30 minutes on what it was and what it wasn't. And ever since then, it seems that this whole bit has changed, because you can no longer get the 99 cent trades on Comixology. And I know I had an interchange with friend of the show Mike Myers, my co-host Nick Wetmore, on Twitter. And it was a little weird because there were books out, but they were full price, and yet the 99 cent banner was still up on the top of the page. And as the day progressed, people noticed that the banner was gone. Of course, the prices were back to regular. And fortunately, I did acquire one of the Masterworks for 99 cents while it was still available for that price. Now, what I feel like maybe hasn't really been discussed is that the sale is not really gone. The sale is actually still there, but only if you have your Amazon account tied into your Comixology account. Because if you listen to me on, for example, the Nerd Legion podcast, you'll know that I've talked about this. I do have my accounts tied because I am an Amazon shill. I love everything Amazon, and it just makes it easier to have my account tied in there. Everything's in one place. Because the cool thing about Comixology, if you tie your Amazon account into your Comixology account, is that any purchases, comic book purchases, that you make on the Amazon Kindle store will show up on your Comixology account. Now, that's only if you've tied your Amazon account into Comixology. If you have not done that, this will not work. And I did that a while ago because Amazon had been doing quite a few things where they just like give books away for free. I got a bunch of Thor stuff that way. And of course I can read it on my Comixology app, which I know a lot of people use a tablet. I'm a little weird. I actually read my comics on a big 24-inch computer monitor. I just like the way it looks better. And I have seen some people even get Comixology on their like Kindle Fire Stick and read comics on the TV. That's cool too if you want to do that. Anyways, the sale is no longer on Comixology, and I'm sure many retailers are very happy about that because that was the whole bubba about this thing. But as I said, if you tie your Amazon account into your Comixology account, you can get all those Kindle purchases directly into your Comixology library. And lo and behold, the 99 cent sale is still available on Amazon.com. Now, I will say this, it is not easy to find. It is under the featured graphic novel section, and you can jump through 30 different hoops to find it. I'm going to make it easy for you. Here's the link. You can go to bit.ly/Marvel99cent. It'll take you directly to the page that has all the 99 cent books. And that will tell you what's on there right now as I'm recording this. This will, of course, change when new books come out, I'm going to assume. The Avengers Epic Collection, Avengers Masterworks Volume 18, Deadpool Omen Logan, Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man Volume 2, Jean Grey Volume 2, Cable Volume 2, Spider-Man Deadpool Volume 5, Gwenpool Volume 5, America Volume 2, Golden Age All Winners Masterworks Volume 4, Vampire's Tales Volume 3, and a few other things. Submariner Masterworks, that could be interesting, I might pick that up. And of course, all these books are 99 cents. Oh man, Atlas Era Strange Tales Masterworks Volume 4. Buy it now. That's amazing. Alright, so that's how you do it. bit.ly/Marvel99cent. It'll take you to the page on Amazon. Of course, make sure you have your account tied in, otherwise you will not be able to do this. Now, I know that there's people that haven't tied their Amazon account to Comixology for various reasons. In particular, some people are very particular about their Comixology account, don't want their wife or husband to know what they're spending on that account. And usually those people have a household account set up on Amazon, so of course their spouse can check the purchases. My wife and I do that. I don't really care. She knows I buy way too many comics, so it really doesn't matter to me. So I do it, and it's amazing. And for 99 cents, can't go wrong. So that's the follow-up. I guess this really does say a lot. Maybe CB wasn't quite BSing everybody at the Retailer Summit panel when he talked about this thing. Because now it seems pretty obvious to me that this is indeed just an Amazon sale where they're just putting out the book at whatever price they feel like putting it out. Because Amazon is very good at dishing out their hardware. We have I think 5 Amazon Alexa devices in the house. We use them all the time. We love them. We have a couple Kindles in the house as well. And, you know, the thing about having an Amazon hardware device is that it will lead you to use the Amazon services more often. And so it seems to me that the reason that this sale was going on Comixology was not so much to undercut retailers. I don't feel like Amazon really actually does that kind of thing, even though they have great prices. But it is to sell more Kindle tablets, which makes total sense. I mean, you can pick up a Kindle tablet for like, I don't know, what are they going for now? Probably less than $100. And sure, you can get, you know, an iPad or whatever, but you're spending $300-$400 at the minimum. Why not try to get people in on one of these devices? They might spend a little bit of money on the hardware, but then you get all these additional deals. So that's the last follow-up I'll do. I think this story's probably pretty much dead by now, but if you were missing those 99 cent sales, then this is how you can reclaim those 99 cent books. And since we're on the Marvel kick right now, a new X-Men title has been teased in the July solicitations that came out, I want to say, 2 or 3 days ago. And the book is slated to come out on July 25th. There's no writer or artist attached to this title yet. It's all a secret. Even the title of the book is a secret. It is called X-Classified. I don't think that's the actual name. In fact, I hope it's not the actual name, because that is a terrible name for a comic book. But they have always loved to do X puns. So maybe it is. Anyways, the book is scheduled to come out July 25th, and all we know is that there are variant covers by J. Scott Campbell and Scotty Young, and my assumption, based on the fact that J. Scott Campbell has like 5 different variants for this book, is that J. Scott Campbell will probably be the interior artist on this X-Classified title. Now, I'm not quite sure what the book will actually be about. In fact, nobody knows, because the solicitation didn't say absolutely a damn thing about it. And I kind of like that. I'm not going to talk about solicits today, overall. I do check them out every so often, not as much as I used to. But the one thing that I don't like about solicitations is the fact that if you actually follow them, you're going to know what a book is about 2 or 3 months before it comes out. So this is July books, came out this past week. I'm pretty sure we got most of the big publisher solicitations out already for July. And I mean, we're in April, so that's 3 months ahead of time. And the reason for that is irrelevant. You know, it has to do with final order cutoff to make sure that there's enough lead time for people to know about these books so that shops can have enough time to order them, etc., etc. But I like the fact that we know nothing about this book even though it's in a solicitation. So, obviously this is going to generate some buzz for the book because people will be very curious as to what this mysterious title is. They'll probably want to automatically add it to their pull list because I will say this, they've shown a couple of things. One was an old 90s style X-Men logo. I know that was teased a little bit when they were doing the Fantastic Four teaser a few weeks ago. I believe it was the first or second image. And it was an image of the Danger Room from the X-Men animated series from the 90s with that same logo. My assumption is, based on the fact that in August we're getting, oh, it's called Extermination, the one where time will change. Maybe the new time displaced X-Men team from the 60s, X-Men Blue, is going to be involved in this book. They also show him contraposed to the older X-Men that we've come to know and love over the decades. It is very possible that this X-Classified book will somehow lead into whatever is going to be going on in Extermination, or maybe an additional title going with that as well. I did hear some rumors about this maybe being a new Wolverine title, and if that's the case, I hope it's maybe at least a Wolverine title with Wolverine, or an X-Men title with Wolverine as the lead character, as the leader of the group. Because otherwise, just having it be a Wolverine title, calling it X-Classified, just seems a little weird to me. Again, I'm not in charge of these things, so what the hell do I know? I don't make comics. But having a Wolverine book be called X-Classified would be a little odd. But we do have the Hunt for Wolverine coming, where Wolverine is being resurrected from the dead. The original Wolverine, not the old man Logan that we've had over the last couple years. So, I mean, that's a possibility. I really just want an uncanny book. It doesn't even have to be the original team, but I want a nice, uncanny book that's really a throwback to stuff that we grew up with in the 80s and the 90s. So that could be interesting. Could be interesting. So look out for that, coming out July 25th. And really quickly, I wanted to talk about this Steven Spielberg movie that's been that's being talked about today. Apparently, Steven Spielberg is set to direct DC's Black Hawk film. And I'm going to admit that I have never read Black Hawk. I know almost nothing about Black Hawk. The character images are very familiar to me, but I've never read the book. But I do know that there's quite a few people that really dig World War II style books. And this does deal with a World War II fighter squadron, a team of pilots from that era. And they first appeared in Military Comics number 1 in 1949, and then, of course, when DC bought Quality and all those other companies in the 50s, they got absorbed into DC Comics. And I'm not sure if DC has done a whole lot with Black Hawk, at least in the past couple of decades. For those of you interested in these kind of books, please let me know, and maybe I'll go check them out. But they have appeared in the Justice League Unlimited series, I know that. And I want to say they showed up somewhere else, maybe in Arrow, or at least something similar to the Blackhawks in Arrow. So that's very interesting that they would go in this route. If it's good, I'm down to watch it, man. I'm not generally a war stories type guy, but there have been books over the years that have really interested me in that kind of story. I know Dreaming Eagles from Aftershock Comics was really amazing. Really, really amazing. I think that was Garth Ennis, and he loves that kind of war story. So, could be interesting. Want to check out. No further information on any of this, aside from the writer, who is David Cope, and he is the guy that wrote The Lost World Jurassic Park, which was okay. War of the Worlds, which my wife and I love. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which for Indiana Jones fans, myself included, is the worst of the Indiana Jones movies, so we'll see how that ends up being, but good for Spielberg. I'm glad he still finds time to do some more work, because I know that Ready Player One is doing pretty well for him. So look out for that, I suppose. And while on the DC front, today is Wednesday, and it's New Comic Book Day, and of course, it is probably the biggest comic book day of the year, because today Action Comics number 1000 comes out, which has the first published Brian Michael Bendis Superman story for DC. And if you hadn't heard, Bendis is coming. Well, I guess as if today, Bendis is here. So, obviously I'm recording this before the book is out. DC doesn't generally send out preview copies for people, except for very few select group of sites. But I look forward to reading it. I know quite a few people were purchasing like multiple copies. And a friend of the show and Absolute DC co-host Aaron Bell bought like 10 blank sketch variants. And I know a few other of my friends have purchased quite a few of the variants as well. I'm just going to pick up one copy because I just want to read the book. I haven't even decided yet if I'm going to go and grab a physical copy yet. I think I'll probably just get it on Comixology in the morning and check that out. But I am looking forward to seeing how it goes. Although there's a couple things that still kind of bug me about this whole move, and some things that maybe have me not so worried about it, I guess. Bendis is from Cleveland, and that's the birthplace of Superman, so that's kind of a really nice throwback for Superman fans and to the Superman creators. Kind of almost like bringing Superman home in a way, and I think DC has pushed this whole Bendis is coming thing quite a bit, and they have high hopes that he's gonna revitalize the franchise to something really great, and I hope that's the case. I'm not entirely sold with this whole thing yet either. And, I kind of feel bad for some of the guys that have been working on the book for the last couple of years. I mean, now since Rebirth started with Action going back to the original numbering, and then, of course, with Superman relaunching at number one. Like the stuff that Dan Jurgens and that whole team has been doing with Superman, I think has really been fantastic. Really, really great. Because what they've done is they've made Superman kind of like Super Dad, right? Like Space Dad. Space Dad to the rescue! And, I don't know how well that might relate to kids, I guess. But I think it should be pretty obvious by now that a large chunk of the comic book reading market is not kids, right? That's why these publishers want to put out lines of comics intended for young readers, lines of comics intended for, young adult readers, trying to make books more female friendly, more minority friendly, and that's all fine. I have no problem with that. But the majority of the readers are older males. And of course, if, as we were growing up, as kids, we wanted to be these characters, of course, as adults, we want these characters to reflect who we have become, going from a child to an adult. And in many ways, I think comic book readers still have a lot of child in them. I mean, I always say that I'm a 12-year-old trapped in a 37-year-old man's body. And I have no problem dressing up as Batman, let me just say that. But what I'm saying is, you want the stories that are told in those books to kind of reflect the readership that you have. And I think in particular for Superman, a lot of the people reading Superman are older males with kids, married, and I feel like that's the reason why the current direction, up until today, from everything that I'm hearing, has really hit the nail for a lot of people. Because bringing in Jonathan Kent, right, Superman's son, having him be married to Lois again, stuff which was gone during the New 52 era, it really has hit a nerve for people because it makes this guy who is, arguably the most powerful, if not one of the most powerful members of the DC universe, kind of seem a little more human, right? And in older stories where Superman was more Clark Kent, where you got to see the struggles that Clark was going through in his daily life, it made it more personable. Because once he becomes Superman, he's not really you, right? Like, he's more like what you would want to be. But he's just fighting big bad dudes, beating him up, they're beating him up, they're flying around space, And that didn't quite hit the mark for a lot of people, I think. And giving Superman that grounding, being married to Lois, and now, of course, having Jonathan as a kid, I think it really did put Superman in a whole different direction that maybe didn't sell as much as some of the stories from previous decades did. But it didn't really matter because the people that read him really enjoyed him. And myself, never really being a Superman fan, I mean, I love Superman in the movies, all the movies, but not so much in the comics. And for me, it really brought me back to reading Superman, and I've thoroughly enjoyed both Superman and Action so much since the relaunches that having Bendis come in with this new direction is really a little bit worrying for me. Because we have this new villain that's been introduced, and he kind of just seems like, here's the thing. All right. It's like when you go see one of these Marvel movies, for example, and this happens in comics too, but I'm not picking on Marvel. But I feel like, you know, for people that don't read comics that listen to this podcast or aren't as familiar with comics, I'm sure they've seen some Marvel movies. You go to a Marvel movie, okay, and they have a bad guy, they beat up the bad guy, and now you learn that, like, the bad guy was part of this plot that was, you know, being plotted by this other, bigger, stronger bad guy. And then the next movie, you fight the bigger, stronger bad guy, and you can't quite win, so you have a third movie where you and your buddy team up to beat the stronger bad guy. But the stronger bad guy had a whole crew of people behind them, so they come out, and they start fighting, so you need to come out, and you need to form your own team, and now you have all these people fighting each other, and then ultimately you have to have this giant cosmic supervillain collecting gems all across the universe, because, I mean, where else are you going to go, right? You need to make it bigger and badder. And the villain in Action Comics, to me, looks like a bigger, badder version of Doomsday, and that's probably okay. But I don't want Superman to fall into the issue that I feel like Flash has. Because Flash has a lot of great supporting characters, it has a lot of great villains. But I feel like, very often, people that work on Flash seem to use speedsters as the bad guy. This is not just in the comics, it's everywhere, right? In the CW show, it's the same thing. Speedster after speedster after speedster. And I get the fact that you want to play upon these two sides of the same coin kind of thing. But, you know, you come to a point where you want to see something new and different. And I don't want this new villain to just be a bigger, badder version of Doomsday. So we'll see what that ends up being. Again, the book's not even out yet by the time I'm recording this, so I could be completely wrong. But I do have high hopes for the stuff that Bendis is doing. And he does seem to be very excited. I read an article in the New York Times where they interviewed Bendis and did this whole thing about his background and how he got to do Superman. They talked about how he went to this Siegel and Schuster like exhibition at some museum in Cleveland, and it was called Superman from Cleveland to Krypton, and how he's like, all right, like, if I'm going to be going and doing something else, I need to be doing Superman. And, you know, he seems very excited about it. And this is kind of big for him too, I would say, you know, because he's been at Marvel for so long that in many respects, I feel like maybe he's gotten very comfortable. And at least to me, that has shown quite a bit in the work that he's done, with some exceptions, right? So I feel like Jessica Jones, for example, or the Defenders, he really gets those characters. And I feel like those are types of characters that he can really write well, as opposed to some other ones, which he writes fine, but, you know, didn't quite click. Like, when he was doing Avengers, I hated his Avengers. You know, it's like you could close your eyes and have somebody read you a panel from that book, and, like, no matter what panel you chose, everybody sounded the same. And that just kind of, it doesn't work, right? So I do have high hopes for what Bendis can do with the new Action, and, of course, Superman, and the, six-issue Man of Steel series he's going to be doing. We'll see how all that goes. I do hope he doesn't completely eradicate some of the stuff that has been put into continuity again with Lois, and of course the stuff with Jonathan, because I think that really has made a difference for a lot of people. We'll see. I'm sure I'll be talking about Action within the next couple of days after I read the book as well. So, I'll still be on the lookout. I'll still be reading it, to be honest. So, not like it really matters what I say. Last thing I wanted to talk about is these changes to the Green Lantern Corps that are coming up with the about-to-be-relaunched Justice League with Scott Snyder and Jorge Jimenez. And issue number 3 was solicited for, I guess it comes out in July, and it has a new Spectrum for the Green Lanterns, or I guess just the Lantern Corps, and that is the Ultraviolet Corps. And it seems that somehow the Ultraviolet Corps has infected Jon Stewart. He's going to be, at least for now, the only member of the Ultraviolet Corps. And of course, because Ultraviolet sounds like ultraviolent, he's going to be losing his dang mind and going up against the entire Justice League. And I'm not really sure what to think about this. I haven't really sat down to try to analyze what this means for the Green Lantern universe of the Green Lantern side of the universe, at least. It has me a little concerned though, because in terms of the light spectrum itself, the furthest to the right of the spectrum that we have so far is the Indigo Tribe, and the Indigo Tribe is about compassion and how we go from compassion to ultraviolence with the ultraviolet lantern. I'm not quite sure. It seems like maybe it should have gone the other way. It should have been like the infrared, right? Because we've got the red lanterns and they're super violent and angry all the time. So if this ultraviolet thing is even more angrier than angry, then shouldn't it be infrared and not just the red? I don't know. That seems a little odd. I know that Scott Snyder's having a lot of fun reimagining some things based on the possibilities that have been afforded to him with the source wall breaking at the end of DC Metal, which I know I haven't talked about yet. I will be talking about DC Metal maybe by the end of the week or this weekend. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm a little iffy about this one, to be honest with you. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun to read, but not quite sure I understand how or why John Stewart is going to be the ultraviolet lantern. I've always felt like John Stewart was one of the most cool-headed people in the Green Lantern Corps, and you know he's got his tendencies, but he's a very smart tactician. He's a great team leader. And to place him in this solo lantern thing, I don't know. It doesn't quite fit for me. But I guess for now, I'll just have to trust that Snyder knows what he's doing, and he's not gonna completely destroy some of this stuff. All right, I guess finally, I haven't put out an episode in a couple days. I can announce the winner of the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe trading card game from Overworld Games, and that winner is at CryIron on Twitter, at CryIron. You are the winner of this game. So please, sir, get in touch with me at Geekvine. Send me a DM. Give me your address. I'll pass it on to Overworld Games, and they'll be shipping out the game to you. If you didn't win, don't worry. We'll be doing more contests along the way. I will have a guest on next week's Therapy Thursday, and I'll be giving away her book. Matter of fact, I'll be giving away several copies of her book on the podcast, and every few weeks probably we'll do something with somebody, either creator or company, to give some people free stuff. Now it is time for Comic Predictor. Of course, it should be no surprise to you that the first recommendation is going to be Action Comics number 1000, written by a bunch of people, with art by a bunch of people. It's got a bunch of pages. It costs a bunch of money. Well, $7.99. And it's from DC Comics. Do I need to explain to you what Action Comics 1000 is? No, it's 1000 issues of freaking Action Comics. Congratulations, DC. Go pick that up. But you're only getting one copy from me. Next pick is going to be a revisit from a previous pick. Infidel number 2 is coming out today from Image Comics. This is Pornsak Pishayshote. Man, Pornsak, please come on so I can get your name right. And Aaron Campbell, this is, of course, the crazy haunted demon story that we talked about a couple weeks ago. And it's got a Muslim American female as the lead character, as she kind of battles prejudice in this weird building with demon ghost things in it. I don't know, it's super odd and I loved it. The story was fantastic, super creepy, the art was incredible. So Infidel number 2 from Image Comics is going to be my second pick of the week. Next up, Wasted Space number 1. This is Michael Moresi, Hayden Sherman, who does Cold War over at Aftershock, and Marguerite Sauvage. This is coming out from Volt Comics, and I got to read it a couple weeks ago. It's really, really good. It's like a crazy space sci-fi Han Solo thing in space. I don't know. It was really good. Wasted Space number 1 from Volt Comics. I'll definitely be talking about this in a couple of days. Next up, survival fetish number one. And boy, I'm gonna tell you, if I go to a comic shop and I say, "Hey, do you have survival fetish?" I would feel a little odd at requesting this book. But that's the name of the book, and it is from or not from Aftershock, from Black Mass Comics, written by Patrick Clinton with art by Antonia Fuso. And this is it's supposed to be like a really action-packed. It's like a parkour messenger guy that runs through the streets of Honolulu, transporting medicine and information between different gangs and militia groups in Honolulu. I'm not sure this is a thing in real life, like other militias in Honolulu. I've never been there. If you've been there and there's militias, let me know. But it sounds cool. It's a 5-issue miniseries from Black Mass Comics, and it looked like it was black and white. I'm not sure if it will be when the actual book comes out, but it looks really interesting. And I know Black Mask, say what you will about their release scheduling sometimes, they do put out some really incredible books. Black is really incredible right now. Coming to Me, of course, I've talked about before. So definitely worth checking out. Survival Fetish number one from Black Mask Studios. And of course, I did mention Aftershock, so I've got two Aftershock picks because I think Aftershock is on fire. If you are not picking up at least one Aftershock book and adding it to your pull list, I think you're doing it wrong. Okay, I'm a little prejudiced. I do the Aftershock Central podcast with my buddy Ronnie, who has been on this podcast, and Travis Williams, who has been on the Valiant Central podcast with me as well. Rough Riders, Ride or Die number three. Adam Glass writing, Pat O'Leaf on art, and this volume of the book has really just upped the ante quite a bit. I have talked about previous issues of this book on this podcast, and it's just really fascinating the amount of research that Adam Glass must have done for Rough Riders to have these real life characters, Teddy Roosevelt, Harry Houdini, Jack Johnson, a few other people. Annie Oakley, Thomas Edison. It's really good. Really, really good. And of course, H.P. Lovecraft is in this particular volume of the series, so it's been a ton of fun to read. Somehow I got an early copy of this, like super early. I think they messed up. And I really, really enjoyed it. So pick that up, Rough Riders Ride or Die number 3 from Aftershock Comics. And since we're on Aftershock Comics, of course, I have to talk about for Infernal Descent number one. This is written by Zach Thompson and Lonnie Nadler, who were on this podcast last week. Missed that episode? Find it on your podcast player or nerdlegion.com/episodes/CTT-16. Flying to Me with Zach Thompson and Lonnie Nadler. Those two guys are freaking incredible. I had a ton of fun chatting with them. So presumably, they also had fun chatting with me. I know we chatted a bit after the interview and then the next day as well. So check that out. Her Infernal Descent is really, really, I think, a very special book. I would say it might be my favorite thing that they've done. I was a English major in college. My focus was on English lit, postmodern lit mostly. But this book is pretty much a retelling of Dante's Inferno, which is one of my favorite books of all time. I've read it in Italian and in English. It's an amazing work of art. And I think what Lonnie and Zach have done in this book is just really brilliant. And there's a lot of Easter eggs in this book. So if you haven't listened to the podcast from last week, I would maybe recommend you read the book first and then go listen to the podcast. Because I guarantee that you will pick up many, many things that you may not have picked up on your read of the actual book. So, Her Infernal Descent, I just can't gush enough about it. These guys are amazing. That's from Aftershock Comics, coming out today. And my last pick is going to be an Image book. And this is Skyward number one, with it's written by Joe Henderson, with art by the incredible, he is so talented, Lee Garbett. And this is I'm assuming near future, but I'm not quite sure, where gravity has kind of become a fraction of what it is today, And so humanity has to learn to deal with the reduced gravity. And of course, a lot of things have to change because you can't just run around the place. You're kind of floating around the place. And it follows this character who, her name is Willa Fowler, who comes upon this conspiracy to restore gravity to its fullness, its full potential? I don't know how you'd say it. I guess fullness. And it looks really, really interesting. I love Liev Garbett. I will pick up anything that he does. His art is incredible. And I'm really looking forward to checking out Skyward number 1 from Image Comics. And I think that is going to be it for this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you all so much for listening to this show. I don't know why anyone listens, but thank you. It's a ton of fun. I love the feedback. So please, if you have any feedback, don't hesitate to get in touch with me. At Geekvine on Twitter is the best place. My DMs are open, so if you feel like you don't want to do it publicly, you want to send me a DM, by all means do so. ComicTalkToday@gmail.com is the email address if you want to do that. And of course, we're found on most of the podcast platforms. We're on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio somehow, and more coming. So thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with a new Therapy Thursday, and my guest will be Batman fan number 2 from the Best of the Rest podcast. Jay Lovin will be joining me. And at the end of the show, we'll be doing a Terry Moore trivia challenge. We'll see if Jay's got what it takes to be a true Terry Moore fan. Signing off. Thanks for listening. Go read some comics.